Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
Mace, we are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, which today is Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators welcoming back John Hines tonight as they take on the Minnesota Wild. John Hines' first road game as the head coach of the Minnesota Wild. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame coverage starting at 6 p.m. on 102.5 The Game. It is now time for Silly Underdog Picks. I will send it over to our commissioner, Willie D.
Willie!
Ah, yes. Harmonize with me, everybody. Welcome in to Silly Underdog Picks, presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. We're moving down the home stretch of the season. Derek Mason in command. It is very, very close for second place, but that's about it. D. Mace is trying to move on to a title. There are 4 games remaining. Uh-huh. You've got this week, championship week, 10 games to pick from. And then a bowl draft of 3 games each. So everybody's got to do the math in their head to see if they can catch Derek Mason, who leads with 59.5 points right now, a commanding lead. So let's quickly look onto our online contest as we get things started. First off, let's give kudos to Barbara Handler from Smyrna, Tennessee, who won in a big tiebreaker. The key for her, with a bunch of people tying with 19 points, including, by the way, Kevin Wilson, who made it known to me downstairs, media relations person for the Predators,
yeah.
He goes, I won all 3 of my games. I tied for it.
Shout out to Kevin.
He said, but I lost the tiebreaker. So Barbara beat him out from Smyrna. So congratulations to Barbara. But Kevin did want me to tell everybody that he is 12th in the season standing. So he's done. He's had a good year, as he normally does. He's a loyal player of the contest. So let's give you the most popular picks real quick. The most popular pick was Florida over Florida State. And no surprise there. That was a good, tough game. People wondering what was going on with Florida State's backup quarterback. So that was far and away the most. The second one, Kentucky over Louisville. And so 19% of the audience took that one.
What was that spread? 7.5.
So, yeah, that sounds about right. But, yeah, that was a big win for Kentucky in that one. All right, let's get to see how the insiders picked. Caroline had the first pick and did go with the Gators. Up 12-0, Caroline. You had to feel pretty good about that.
I was feeling very confident until I wasn't.
Still had a shot all the way to the end. Mm-hmm. Just needed a big stop there. Didn't happen. Florida State able to gut it out without their star quarterback, and that's a big storyline heading into this week. So Caroline drops to, like a lot of the panel, 1-12 on the season.
Not great. Not great.
Now, have we located Plaz? We were looking for the whereabouts of Plaz, and let me check with Nick. Have we found Plaz yet?
Still connecting.
Where
in the world is George?
Where
Plaster?
Is Plaz? Okay, well, I know he had the big bowling event. Mace and I were over there for that one. Plastic, South Carolina. And by the way, Spencer Rattler just declared he's going to go to the draft. He was trying to get the last hurrah for the Gamecocks. They were 7-point home dogs against Clemson. Didn't quite happen. Clemson able to hang in there and get some wins down the stretch. They have not had a great year, but they're able to beat the arch rival.
And neither has South Carolina.
That's for sure. That is for sure. Chase McCabe, who is right now across the way at the NASCAR Big Media Day, so he is not present. He took Oregon State in the Civil War, a 13.5-point dog against Oregon. Oregon just, though, too strong. Oregon looks really, really good right now, and is still not out of it for a championship. They are in the title game against Washington, and they took care of business against the Beavers. Then Kelly Holcomb had the next pick. Coastal Carolina, a 9-point dog against James Madison. So two straight weeks, people trying to pick against James Madison, but the Dukes pulled this one out. Is Kelly president accounted for? Do we have anybody here?
Yeah, Kelly's here.
Okay. So, Kelly, yeah, you're kind of wondering, where is everybody?
Well, yeah, I'm here, but I'm about to go on the air, but I'm still on Silly Underdog, so where's everybody at? I mean, what are we doing?
Yeah, so you're putting extra effort in. You've not given up this title to D-Mace
yet. I have not
yet.
Given up, but, is there any way that we can get, like, in high school football, we can get a running clock with this thing, like, some way?
Okay.
I don't know. I mean,
you're saying keep the tempo up. Let's go two-minute drill, no huddle.
Yeah, and I tried to say something to D-Mace, but D-Mace big-timed me the other night, you know, when we were at the bowling event. I don't guess he saw me.
I don't think I saw you, Kelly.
Man.
Yeah, I was,
no
I was
love.
Did you try to big time Kelly? Is that
no,
what happened?
I would never big time Kelly.
I was sitting there talking to Willie, and I tried to look at Derek. Derek wouldn't even look my way, so he kind of big timed me, man. That's awesome.
How could you do that to a fellow?
Is he busy talking to fans?
Hey, I would never big time Kelly, ever. went out of my way to talk with Kelly had I seen him.
We were literally 2 feet from each other, and the dude just looked at me, and he just went on his way.
Hold on. Well, Kelly big time me? Because he saw me.
I was actually in a conversation, and you interrupted me. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, boy. We're going to have to check the tape. You know those new commercials now? You can throw the challenge flag?
Yeah.
We're going to have to get surveillance video over at the Herman and Strike and Spare and see what happened. So D-Mace had the next pick. And, of course, he said, look, I'm just going to give you guys a week off. I'm way ahead of this thing. Let's make it interesting. Yeah. He tried to select Pearl Cone. We told him you can't take a high school
Dang
team.
It, why not? They won, too.
And they did win. But I'm not sure they were actually an underdog. But they did win. So congratulations to the Firebirds going for it here, going for a title.
Absolutely.
Good luck to them. And he did take Michigan State, 21-point dogs against Penn State.
I don't even think I covered the spread.
D-Mace, there's a lot of Spartans in the portal right now.
Yeah,
there's a lot of Commodores in the portal.
You know who else is in the portal? DJU.
Yes, he's coming to state. He's coming to state. Bring him on, Coach Smith.
We got to practice our pronunciations if he's coming to Michigan State. And then finally, Mr. Sanders. Chris Sanders,
boy.
Still looking for win number one, the defending champion. We were looking at the last year's title. Chris, you had 113 points last
That's
year.
That's a lot of points.
113.
You went from the penthouse to the outhouse very quickly.
Hey, and I believe I can win, man. I got a couple of more weeks left. I'm still in the hunt.
You got four games. Yeah. You got four games, Chris. It can happen. I believe in
you. Good luck, Daryl. Good luck on that one.
Hold on. Has anybody ever gone undefeated?
Hey, that's a bad word. Hey, easy. Hey, can't do that.
I don't think anybody's ever gone winless for a season. I think there have been people that have won just one.
Okay. I'm going to win this thing.
Okay.
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 Well, you'll have
Is
to start
Is anybody 120-point underdogs?
Well, Chris tried the Stanford Cardinal, 26-point dogs at home against Notre Dame.
They were
came up short,
minute.
So swinging big, as he normally does.
Hey, I gave him all. That's all that matters.
The participation trophy, the kids, they appreciate your effort.
Yeah,
you're setting a good example. You know, when you go through adversity, you keep your chin up. You keep fighting.
Hey D-Mates, how you feel about the kids?
Damn the kids, man.
See, man.
Y'all know I love
In
the
a
kids,
good way.
Man. Y'all know I love the kids.
I know. He know. I'm just messing.
All right. Let's commence because Kelly is on the clock here.
Yes.
So but here's what we've got for week 14. 10 games to pick from. Plaz has the first pick. I have made contact with Plaz. Is he on with us or he has texted me his pick?
Still trying to connect with him. It goes to voicemail.
Okay, then don't worry about it. He has texted me his pick, and so we will go from there. But we can go ahead and play the theme song just for fun.
Don't forget his music, man.
Kelly's like, we don't have time for his music.
We don't need it.
No. Hey, stop right there.
Okay, you get the point. It's Plaza's pick. He selects Alabama, the 6.5-point dog. Not surprising. Plaza's well behind the pack here. He's got only 6 points. Mm-hmm. It's really a battle for second/third place, unless Kelly can get a big chunk here. Alabama is a 5.5-point dog against Georgia in the SEC championship game with obviously a ton on the line there. Okay, so Plaz takes the Tide. We move on to Chase McCabe. And Mr. Nick Frazier will be picking for Chase.
Yes, since Chase is not here, I'm not going to play the theme music as usual. You know, since it is the end of the season nearby, I'm going to go with a little Whitney Houston to take us back.
This gets the people going.
Where do broken hearts go, everybody? Where do they go? I'll tell you where they go. They go to the Big 12, and they take... they do take the opposite at 14.5, Oklahoma State.
We got 15.
I got 15.
Yes.
Okay, let's take that 15. Extra half there. 15.
So, Chase, looking for the Oklahoma State Cowboys.
Oh, man, I was thinking about that one.
15-point dogs against Texas. Texas has the pressure on. They must win, you would figure, to get in to the championship conversation. But if they do win, they definitely have the case.
So how many points is Chase behind?
Well, Chase is right now with 3.5 points.
This is the three comeback, Chase. If you're listening, this is
the
comeback.
56. He's 56 behind Derek.
It's happening.
Well, not with that pick.
You don't like your chances on that one. Okay.
No, I do, but it's not enough points.
Okay. Next up, Kelly Holcomb.
Bet not pick my team, Kelly.
33 points behind.
Chris, you're not gonna win a game.
Okay, so I am gonna pick. Just give me the Pac-12 championship. Give me Washington to beat Oregon. Okay. I don't think that'll happen this time. I don't think it's going to happen, but, hey, it's, you know, I thought about New Mexico State with Diego Pavia to beat Liberty, but I'm going to go with Washington.
That's what I'm getting.
Okay. Washington, despite being undefeated on the season and having a higher ranking, is a 9.5-point dog against Oregon, who is playing great right now. Interesting pick. Yep. Washington has been walking the tightrope here the last few times out. Some very close calls, but they are unscathed going into the Friday night championship game for the Pac-12. All right, we move on. D-Mace, the leader in the competition right now with 59.5, 33 ahead of Kelly. He's ready to go.
All right. We got a new coach. Ready to start this thing back up in Spartan Land, up in East Lansing. So, I'm going to go with, man, I thought about the New Mexico game. I don't want to take that from you, Chris. I'll let you have it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going back to the well. Give me App State once again.
Oh.
Give me App State once again.
Wow.
Once again.
Appalachian State is a 6-point dog in the Sun Belt title game against 10-2 Troy. Kelly Holcomb,
yeah,
keeping close tabs on that game.
I'll be there. I'll be there.
I think Chris threw out that New Mexico and Liberty. It was like,
because
he was trying to use the Jedi mind trick. And yeah, he really wanted to pick App State. So
I don't want that. I want Iowa.
So for people that don't know, Kelly's son plays for Troy. So you've been watching. We've had some fun with you during this season, Kelly, your knowledge of the Sun Belt, but people probably don't watch. But how have you liked the level of play? And obviously, Troy's having a nice season.
You know, there's some teams that are really good, like James Madison. You got App State, who's kind of ruled that division in a while, or Sun Belt for a while. And then, you know, Troy's come on the last 2 years. Then you got the Louisiana Monroes of the conference. So, you know, the top to bottom, it's, you know, it's different, but, you know, that's a good pick by Derek because it's been 5 years, 5 games since Troy's beaten App State. So, I don't know. We'll see. It'll be a tough game for those guys, but it's in Troy, so they'll get good home field advantage, so we'll see.
How long of a drive is it to Troy?
It's 5 hours, unless you go early in the morning, late at night, and you can make it in 4.5, you're rolling.
Ah,
okay.
Or I can make it in 3.5.
D-Mace, were you thinking about going down there?
D-Mace, no, but I said I could.
Hey, D-Mace could probably went running them jets, and he could probably get down in about 30 minutes.
About 30 minutes, okay. All right, yeah. So Troy in the Sun Belt game at home against App State. That brings up our man Chris Sanders.
Let's go.
Going for his first win of the season.
Hey, easy. There we go.
It could be a miracle comeback. It could be a miracle comeback if Chris Sanders
decides. It can happen, I'm telling you.
This is the time of miracles.
It's not a movie, okay? It's not a kids. It's not a Disney movie, okay, where Chris comes back and he wins. No, it just doesn't happen.
All right, here we go. Here's my pick. I got Iowa over Michigan.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Hey, I'm telling
you. You know Iowa can't score any points, right?
They need a couple of they got a great defense.
But you know they can't score any points, like literally.
All they need is a block field goal to a block.
Their point total is 7.5, and the under is -160.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Love you guys. I might as well hang up now, huh?
The Hawkeyes of Iowa are a 21.5 point dog against undefeated Michigan.
You know what? Truthfully, Chris, I want Iowa to win because I don't like Michigan. You know that.
Me either.
So I want Iowa to win, but I do want you to go to season without a victory.
Oh, that's cool.
What do you want more?
I think I want him.
That's cool.
I hate Michigan more.
I can't stand Michigan.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I would rather Michigan lose.
Yeah, that is an Ohio State alum and a Michigan State alum. You have one common enemy.
Michigan.
And that would be the Wolverine.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
It's kind of like Met fans and Red Sox fans don't like each other, but they hate the Yankees.
Yes.
They both hate the Yankees. So they team up on that one. So, Chris, good luck with the Hawkeyes. That would be a major story if that happened. Holy cow. All right, that brings us to Caroline Fenton for the final pick of Week 14.
All right, I'm stuck between two. But I will take the larger point spread. Give me New Mexico State to upset Liberty.
That's a good one.
New Mexico State is an 11.5 point dog.
11.5 point dog.
And they're playing in Lynchburg against undefeated Liberty, who continues to pile up wins, even in the post-Hugh Freeze era here.
Hugh Freeze, however, not collecting wins against New Mexico State.
That is an interesting one. Remember, New Mexico State went down to Auburn and smoked the Auburn Tigers.
Smoked
the Auburn Tigers. And yet, they're an 11.5 point dog against Liberty?
No respect.
Wow.
None whatsoever.
For Diego Pavia and New Mexico State.
That is interesting to think about. Boy, Liberty trying to finish off the season undefeated. All right, so let's recap the picks for week number 14, then we'll let Kelly get on his way. He's got a lot of things to do today. All right, we start off with Plaz. Via text, selects Alabama, 5.5 point dogs against Georgia in the SEC title game in Atlanta. Chase McCabe, through our man Nick Frazier, takes Oklahoma State, 15 point dogs against Texas in the Big 12 title game. Kelly Holcomb, trying to chip away, goes with Washington, undefeated on the year, but still a 9.5 point dog against Oregon in the Pac-12 title game. D-Mace, in command, trying to add to it, goes back to the well for a team that has gotten him a big win. Appalachian State, they're a 6-point dog at Troy in the Sun Belt title game. Chris Sanders, trying to get on the board, going big, swinging big as he always does, staying with the philosophy. Takes the Hawkeyes of Iowa out of the Big Ten, 21.5 point dogs against the Michigan Wolverines, number one in the country. And finally, Caroline Fenton going with New Mexico State, 11.5 point dogs taking on Liberty in Lynchburg, Virginia. That game Friday at 6 on the CBS Sports Network. Remember, you can play this week. It's going to be an interesting competition with only 10 games. So make sure you pay attention to your tiebreaker. It did come down to a tiebreaker last week. So go online at thegamenashville.com and make your three picks. Those are our picks for week 14. Ladies and gentlemen, good luck.
You can play, but what I have learned is that you might not win.
Again.
D-Mace, any message for the kids?
Happy Thursday to all the kids out there and, you know, participants. I hope y'all lose. Have a great weekend, but I hope y'all lose, okay? I want y'all to do great outside of silly underdogs pick.
Great in life.
Yeah, great in life.
Just not in the picks. Yeah. All right. Chris, Kelly, thanks for coming on. As always, we'll talk to you again here soon. We'll have a bye week next week, and then we'll have our three-game bowl draft coming up right after that, before the bowl games get going.
Yeah, y'all go get out of here. Get out of here.
All right, appreciate y'all. I do have to say, if Chris Sanders is right, if the Iowa Hawkeyes pull off the upset of the year, I think we should just crown Chris the winner, no matter what, no matter the point total. Chris should just
win. I'm sure D-Mace is fine with that.
Yeah.
He said, not really.
He said that all season, that he would love it if Chris would pull off the upset over him all season long.
Part of you would be happy, though, if Michigan had the ship go down.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. I wouldn't feel that bad because he still wouldn't be in a position to beat me.
I think that he should just win, though, de facto.
Yeah, you're right. So let's go, Chris.
Let's go, Chris.
Let's go, Iowa Hawkeyes, the team that doesn't score any points. Yes.
The most boring brand of football to watch, but I love it. America's team.
Well, who's talking? My Spartans are horrible, so.
Yeah, but I think Iowa's whole plan is just, hey, we don't need to score points. I think Michigan State's just bad.
Iowa's first half team total is 0.5. So just putting that into perspective.
0.5?
Same with the second half.
Oh, wow.
If Iowa played LSU, Iowa might put up 35 points. That's how bad LSU's defense is.
Oh, wow.
All right. Coming up next, a familiar face making his return to Bridgestone Arena. How do we expect him to be welcomed back by the fans? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
I mean, you know, Barry and I had talked, and you know, we were going through a process with it, and you know, we've talked since then, and just met with him and David and those guys. So, yeah, there's no hard feelings there. I mean, you know, unfortunately, it is part of the business. I have a lot of respect for him, the organization, and you know, I just the Nashville experience was fantastic. It was I love the city, I love the people I worked with, the people in the organization, the people I worked with every day. You're always disappointed. You know, to me, that was probably what hurt the most, was just the relationships that you had with people that you know you're not gonna be able to be around anymore. But the positive side now is when you get back in, you have, you know, a great group of people that you're gonna be able to get to know and work with and move forward.
That was new Minnesota Wild head coach John Hines, which feels a little bit weird to say. John Hines making his return to Nashville. The first road game in his role as the head coach of the Minnesota Wild is in Nashville. Appreciate Alex Jordy for tweeting that clip out. Willie, you were passing the media scrum. You said it was a pretty large crowd next to John Hines.
Yeah, I got a chance to see that. I was standing right behind Alex there when that was going on. So Minnesota has a very big media following. So they had a lot of people, and that's obviously everything right now for that franchise, trying to turn a season around that has not gone well at all. And then there was a big group of Nashville media that had a few questions, and that was a good one there, just kind of asking how it ended. You know, we haven't really heard from John Hines, where, if you remember, it went well into May before they decided to part ways with John Hines. So it was really nice to hear that. In my opinion, you know, John Hines showed the class that he did there. You know, you never know if a guy's going to say, yeah, it was bitter, man. I thought I was going to be the coach. But he said, look, I understand. It was a good experience. Still talks with Barry Trotz, still talks with David Poyle. And that's how you build a good network. And now, of course, he's got a new gig, and he's got to move on. And
wow.
Yeah, a division rival.
Okay, two questions for you, Willie. Do you think, and I'm not saying that Trotz he didn't or not, do you think he handled it the way he should have in regards to Hines? And then now that he has a coaching job with the Minnesota Wild, how do you think he'd do his second go around?
Well, what John Hines said down there that I thought was interesting, he said the actual getting off of the merry-go-round and stepping away from the game for a few months, he thought did him a lot of good. He hasn't moved his family. He's got a wife and two daughters. I'm not sure. They have stayed here.
Wife and daughters.
Yeah, wife and daughters. Well put. And they're going to stay here for the whole rest of the school year. And then in the summer, they'll decide if they're going to relocate, if things are going well with the Wild, et cetera. But it's a really good question. I don't know if maybe away from everybody – it's natural that he was disappointed,
exactly,
right? Not to get a chance to continue on, because I thought he did do a very good job, especially down the stretch of the season after Barry Trotz took over, of keeping the team in contention and helping bring along the young players that are such a big part of where this franchise goes from here. So he also mentioned, this is the second part of your question, Derek. He's taken over the Wild, who are a team that has really underachieved. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of, we don't think, we can't change the roster. Mm-hmm. They're up against the cap. We've just got to try something else. So here comes John Hines.
And this is a very fire-the-coach league.
Oh.
They're quick to fire the coach in the NHL.
Especially when it's so hard to in the salary cap mm-hmm. to revamp your roster by making a huge trade, right? It's hard to make even like a 3-for-3 swap to shake it up. It's very difficult to find a trade partner who has the same match with you because everybody's up against the cap. They don't have much flexibility. You've got a lot of term on these contracts. I'll be interested to hear what Elliot says when we talk to him about it. But John Hines said, I think I learned a lot about taking over for Peter Laviolette in January of 2020. Now think about how tough that was. That was a team that was coming off of big wins, right? That was a winning franchise that was thinking they were going to stay in the championship level, and they weren't there, and he comes in and has to try to fix it. That's kind of, he said, that experience will help him with this experience for the Wild here. And, of course, it couldn't have been tougher for Nashville, because after 2 months of trying to get things in order and try to get your own system in there, trying to get them back on the right track, COVID hits, and the season stops. So that was a huge challenge. But through those experiences, you know, you feel like you get stronger. So let's see how he does against the Wild. And the Wild are in a big hole. They're going to have to play really, really well to get back to the playoffs. But they clearly have a better team than their record right now.
7-game losing streak for the Minnesota Wild, which is ultimately why they parted ways with their coach.
Yep, and they won the first game two nights ago at home against St. Louis. So they're off on the right foot. So they have a more positive feeling coming into this game.
What do you think it was? Because obviously that's who the Predators play tonight, the Minnesota Wild. So I'm sure you've sat back and watched this team some. What is it about them? You believe they have the personnel, but they just haven't been able to crank out wins.
Yeah, it's part of the reason, and this is what I'm sure Elliot will go here when we ask him, but the big glaring thing is their goalies haven't been nearly as sharp as they have in the past. In fact, their starting goalie, Philip Gustafson.
Ooh, they're giving up almost 4 goals a game.
Yeah, which is very unwild-like. They've usually been a team that doesn't score a ton, but plays really good defense, has good goaltending, and that's how they win. And I think that's what John Hines is trying to reestablish. That's the identity of their team. They're a tough, physical, hard-nosed team that makes it tough to score against. And like you said, they're giving up way more goals than they have been the last few years, and it's really puzzled everybody there. So that's probably in a nutshell what's happened. And then they've got a couple of top-level players that they lean on for offense. It was kind of like we talked about last year. Forsberg and Duchesne had the 40-plus goal seasons 2 years ago. And that's where John Hines, sometimes you lose in the shuffle. That was the second best offensive output they've ever had as a franchise that 1 year where they had Janot scoring goals.
Goal scorer from Matt Duchesne.
Yeah, the record, Forsberg and Duchesne were in the battle. Nobody had ever gotten to 40. They both got well over 40. And then last year it wasn't the same, and then the coach doesn't look as smart.
Yeah.
Right? That's kind of what happened to the Wild. You know, Kirill Kaprizov is the franchise offensive guy. He struggled. You're not getting saved from the goalie. And so all of a sudden, Dean Evason doesn't look as smart as the coach. So sometimes you're kind of relying on, are the guys performing for you? So this is going to be – and you know what another interesting part of the plot line is? Andrew Burnett spent 15 or – you know, I forget exactly how long, but as a player and as a front office person, huge amounts of time for the Wild organization. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting swap here.
It is interesting. And back to the clip that we came in with John Hines asking about the hard feelings. And he said, absolutely not. No hard feelings with Barry or with David Poile. And John Hines is entitled to feel however he would like to feel. There is a lot that went on behind closed doors that I won't know about, that we won't know about. But I didn't feel like there was anything that was public knowledge that I know of that would elicit hard feelings. That Barry Trotz, ever from the beginning, when it was announced that he would take over when David Poile retired, he said, look, I'm doing my evaluation. I don't know who's going to be here. He never said, oh, we love John. Of course we're going to hold on to John, and then just kind of swept the rug from underneath him and said, wait, no, just kidding. Never mind. No, we're not. Barry Trotz was very open and honest from the beginning of maybe he's here, maybe he's not. We're going to take our time and we're going to do our evaluation. And I did think John Hines, because I saw the writing on the wall. I think a lot of Predators fans saw the writing on the wall. I'm sure John Hines saw the writing on the wall as well. Whenever you have a change in leadership, whenever you change general managers, that usually means the coach goes too.
Yeah. That, I think
especially
I went,
when the team misses the
in
playoffs.
My mind, I went from, well, he's going to be gone to by the end of the season going, well, he may have earned the right to come back. I don't know. And then for a couple months, we didn't know. It was, you know, as the draft was coming up in Nashville, and Barry Trotz, he stayed consistent. He said, look, I haven't said, you know, I said I needed to May, and so it's the end of May. Now, what was happening, too, this is the competitive part, I'm sure, of all coaches, but you had Andrew Burnett, who was being courted by several teams, right? His team that he was coaching, the Devils, made a pretty good deep run into the playoffs, so he was still coaching as an assistant while the Devils were trying to win. But in the background, you have a lot of teams going, wow, when Andrew Burnett comes available, we're gonna pick up the phone and call. And Barry Trotz had that relationship with Andrew Burnett going way, way back to the minor leagues when Andrew Burnett was a player and Barry Trotz was a young coach. So you had all that going on. But I'm sure John Hines is saying, okay, they chose Andrew Burnett over me. I'm going to show you now that I have another opportunity that I can coach too. So, you know, I wish John Hines well. I wish he wasn't in the same division as the Predators.
I wish him well until he plays the Predators.
Yeah, but it's going to be an interesting plot line going forward. And Caroline, I know you and I have talked about this. I wonder what the reception will be like tonight from the fans, because I think the media really respects John Hines and his accessibility. He could not have been more gracious today. He went and shook hands with everybody from Nashville that was there at the press conference. Asked how his family's doing and everything like that. I think he really treated the media well here. I always felt like the fans never really gave him a lot of benefit of the doubt, especially because they were going through some struggles there, and they were going from being a team that was contending for a title to a team that was a little bit more overachieving to make the playoffs and weren't winning in the playoffs. So I hope as time goes by here that the fans give him some respect, you know, going forward here.
And not very often do coaches get the benefit of the doubt at any level in any sport, which is why I do wonder, you know, if and when Peter Laviolette comes back, I do think that he is met with cheers and, you know, excitement, because Peter Laviolette brought this team to a point that it had never been before.
Oh, yeah.
When Ryan O'Reilly
and he's coming in Saturday, by the way.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's like the, you know, the ex-boyfriend tour, the Nashville Predators. You know, when Ryan O'Reilly came back, it was nothing but cheers and excitement. I wonder what the response will be with John Hines, because he was here for a rather short period of time. He made it to the playoffs a couple of times with John Hines, but it didn't end on the peachiest note. I don't think it's going to be met with the same kind of cheers as maybe a Peter Laviolette or a Ryan O'Reilly or somebody like that. But I do wonder. I hope it's not booze for John Hines' sake, but I do wonder how the fans feel with, you know, reuniting with a coach like John Hines and the history that he has with this team.
They're classy.
All right.
I think Pred fans are classy, so I'm throwing that out there, Pred fans.
This is a fan base that tells opposing goaltenders that they suck.
Well, they can do that. Yeah. They can do that.
Yeah.
It's a boisterous bunch.
Exactly.
I do remember when Barry Trotz came back for the first time, it was really emotional.
Yeah.
It was really
–
I think the fans were ready for something new, but at the same time, they still – love Barry Trotz, and man, Barry Trotz was, he'll be the first to tell you, he was really emotional on that night when he brought Washington in, and it was a great game. But man, that was a goosebumps kind of moment. I don't know that we'll see that tonight, because when you go from a franchise that is hope is the standard is to win playoff series and try to compete for a championship, and that was the one thing John Hines didn't do. They didn't win a playoff series while he was there. They did make the postseason 3 out of the 4 years that he was the coach. And so when you remove that, his winning percentage, not bad. And if you really look at the expectation level from the league, you know, I don't think anybody thought they were going to make the playoffs in the two the COVID season, not the season he took over, but the two first full seasons he had, the shortened season where they had the weird alignment where they played the Carolina Hurricanes in the first round. I don't think anybody thought they were coming out of that division to make the playoffs. They made a great run to make it. And then the following year, nobody predicted them to make the playoffs. They made it, but both years they lost to really tough powerhouse teams in the first round. And it just, when you compare it to, hey, we might win this thing, that probably just fell short of expectations for the coach. So he got caught in that cycle there. And so I think what he did do sometimes is a little bit overlooked.
We'll continue the conversation coming up next. What to expect from the Predators tonight on a 6-game winning streak? Can you make it a 7th? And what do you need to see from the Preds to make that a 7th win in a row? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. May, say make your silly underdog picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app. Silly underdog picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket.
Just over 2 weeks ago, you're in here. We're talking about, you know, a four or five game losing streak there. Is it surprising how quickly things have turned around to this degree?
No, not really. I mean, I think we felt, you know, we kind of beat ourselves in a couple of those games. And I think we didn't play very well on the road the last two games, and those were probably our two worst, at least in my opinion. And we came back and we thought if we can turn it on for one game, we'd find the cure. And unfortunately, in any sport, but the hockey gods don't usually let you off the hook. They make you go through the mud a little bit to find the appreciation of how hard it is to win. So I think we learned a little bit of that lesson, and then we got rewarded for the things we've been doing most of the year. And we got to keep building. It's nice to be one over, you know, but we got a busy week here.
That was Predators head coach Andrew Brunette. They went from a 5-game losing streak. You're 5-10 on the season, dejected from losing so many games that you had the possibility to win. And then here you are on a 6-game winning streak with an opportunity to make it 7 tonight as the Predators host the Minnesota Wild. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. We're live out here at Pete and Terry's Tavern. And it is popping in here.
Yeah, it is.
It's a party in here. So if you need a place to come out before the game, even if it is 6 hours before puck drop, come hang out at Pete and Terry's Tavern.
You can get a little challenge going with the cornhole going on outside today.
A heated battle of cornhole.
Heated battle.
We might throw some bows here pretty soon. Got to be careful. Willie, I do wonder, you know, because the team looked good, even in games that they've lost. They were producing offense. You're getting a ton of production from Philip Forsberg. We talked about it yesterday. This might be the hottest streak of Philip Forsberg's career, and that's saying something. There have been some pretty hot streaks in there. Even if you don't get as high of production from Philip Forsberg at some point in time, because we've seen it with Philip Forsberg, he can be streaky. How much of this, of continuing this winning streak, and even if it's not a streak, but a pattern of winning, kind of rides and dies with UC Saros?
I think he's a big part of the equation, and I think it's been notable that through a quarter of the season, UC Saros at a 900 save percentage, and he was well below 900 for a while, and you're still at 11-10, I think you feel like there's a pretty good likelihood that that save percentage is going to go up, even though goaltending these days has been tough. The league is trying to encourage offense, get offense going. There's some really good young players and talent right now. So the average save percentage has come down. Like, not 9-10 today is a lot different, a lot better than 9-10, say, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It's tougher because more goals are being scored. And more specifically, I think teams are now taking the approach of let's not just see how many shots we can get. Let's make sure we get quality shots. We know the types of shots that are more dangerous. And so let's just not take the easy shot from the outside and see if the guy can glove it down, because the stats will show you those almost never, ever go in. I mean, on the odd time, the goalie could give up a softie. But you see what I'm saying? It's like this is where analytics have come in a little bit. So the higher quality of the shot, the tougher it is for the goalie, and the tougher it is to have a high save percentage. But all that being said, UC Saros tends to get better as the season goes on, so I think that's an encouraging part of where the season is going. But there's still challenges. Andrew Burnett was saying, look, we're going to face a real urgent team tonight, a hungry team that's trying to get back in it, trying to make a good impression on a new coach, and they have to try to match that hunger and intensity. You can't get complacent at all, even though you've played well here.
Yeah.
You can't. But I think this sets up for, because of the Minnesota Wild's woes at the goalie position, I think because of the play, the type of play that the Predators, find themselves in or that they employ, I think it should lead to more goals in this game. The up-tempo, the always being aggressive, it should lead to more goals, but, it doesn't happen that way every time. But you just hope with their deficiencies and the way the Preds are playing, over the last six or seven games, you hope it leads to more goals for them.
Yeah, the Predators have been creeping up in their ranking for offense for the last couple of weeks here. And so that'll be something I'm looking for tonight, is can they continue to get that offensive production, which is getting close to the top 10 in the league here. Mm-hmm. And that's saying something, because they struggled last year in that area. But what are we going to see from the Wild? Can they get back to their real tough, hard-nosed, physical game where it is tough to score? I've seen a lot of Predators Wild games that are 2-1, 1-0 in the third period. Space is hard to find out there.
Iowa Hawkeyes hockey.
Iowa Hawkeyes hockey, no question. Iowa is the affiliate, I think, of the Wild for AHL. So
that might make sense.
Yeah, that might make some sense. Yeah. So what kind of style do we see tonight? That'll be something to look for. And here's the other thing. The Predators are now, and we'll talk to Elliot about this. Mm-hmm. I think they were flying under the radar. Andrew Burnett was asked this the other day when Pittsburgh was here. And they said, do you think you were sneaking up on some people? Do you think people are noticing you? He goes, not yet. He goes, I still think other teams look at our roster and say we should beat the Predators because of where they are. And the Predators, I think, have surprised a few people here.
And that might be an advantage for the Predators.
And so that's my point.
Yeah.
Is now you're playing the Wild, you look at the two teams' records, and you're saying, oh, Nashville might actually be the favorite here. When really before the season, the Wild were the team that's supposed to be automatically in the playoffs, and the Predators not so much. So I'm wondering, as they continue to have more success, are they going to get the attention of the other team a little bit more?
We'll run that by Elliot Friedman. Yeah. He will join us coming up next. Caroline Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.